A few months ago, Now Hear This teamed up with Conversations' Richard Feidler for a storytelling night at the Noosa Long Weekend Festival in Queensland. We asked listeners to tell their stories of the first time, and here's a story from Phil Conder from that night. Now, there's a warning, this story might upset some listeners.
Thank you, thank you. Well, I've got a story to tell you. And it's a good one. Believe it or not, I think that's what we're pleased to say. I have the dubious honour of being the youngest person in Australia to be charged, taken before a judge and sentenced to be hung for a crime I did not commit. I was taken, duly taken out and hung, and I survived. It's a true story. When I was 7 years old, I come from a very large family of 13 children. We used to have what was called a Saturday matinee at the movies, and the parents used to shove the kids out to the matinee to have a bit of a break away from them all. I know Mum and Dad did. My darling elder sister, who was a year and a half older than me, I was seven, she was eight and a half, I loved and trusted her so much. We went to the Saturday movie.
When was that?
When? Where? At Kelvin Grove in Brisbane. That's where I was born. My father was a watchmaker and jeweller. 13 children and two adults in a two-bedroom house. Yeah, believe it or not. I stepped out on the back veranda, rain, hail, sunshine, it didn't matter too much. When we came back from the Saturday movie, which was predominantly American Westerns, cowboys, stick 'em up, shoot 'em, cowboys, you know, Indians, cattle rustling, all the good things, my darling 8.5-year-old sister said, "Do you like the game of cowboys and Indian, bro?" I said, "Yeah, mate, why not? I've got nothing else to do." So we ran around the backyard, shooting each other, falling down, having good fun. And then she changed the role model. She became a sheriff. She didn't tell me that. New game. Typical female, change your mind whenever you like. Stuck a gun out. She said, "Stick your hands up, I'll fill you full of lead." all right, what'd I do, what'd I do? She said, "You're guilty of cattle rustling." Cattle rustling? I don't even have a bloody horse. Couldn't ride one if I did have one. I couldn't get my bloody foot up in the stirrup anyway. She changed the role model. Geez, I tell you what, mate, talk about women changing their minds. 2 seconds later, she's a judge. I'm still standing there in the bloody backyard, mate, my bare feet. I didn't want a belly full of lead, whatever that was. She said, "I'm the judge." She said, "I'd sentence you to hang for cattle rustling." I said, "Yeah, all right, sis, all right, darling, whatever. I trust you, I love you." Yeah, cool. Down our backyard, we lived about, our house was about 1.5 metres off the ground. We had 5 wooden steps. Down our backyard, we had a toilet and a bathroom and an open 3-sided laundry where Mum and Dad had a copper. We used to light that every Sunday and boil up the water because we didn't have a hot water system. My sister left me standing in the backyard there like I was praying to Almighty. And she ran down the laundry and she grabbed Mum's bucket, big galvanised bucket, and a length of rope. I didn't want a belly full of lead, mate. I wasn't going nowhere. In the middle of our backyard, we had a mulberry tree. It'd been there for about 20-odd years. Lovely big thick branches. So my darling sister grabbed the bucket, upended it on the ground, stood up on it and tied a bit of bloody rope around the freaking branch. "Come here, brother." "Yes, sis." "Okay." "Get up in the bucket." "I'll fill you full of bloody lead." I didn't want a belly full of lead, so I got up in the bucket. Tied a beautiful knot around my neck while I was up on the bucket. This is gospel. Don't trust older sisters. Even if you do love them, don't bloody trust them. she changed the role model. That was four times, I think, in 3 minutes flat. She turned into an Indian chief. Round and round the mulberry tree in the bucket with me hanging up there with a bit of rope around my neck. Big imaginary tomahawk in her hand. I was sitting there. Way, reckon, sis, way. Look at this girl go. Third lap around. She kicked the shit out of the bloody bucket. Really darling, lovely sister. I still trusted her. I tried to tell her. I tried to tell her I didn't want to play this game anymore. It hurt too much. I couldn't talk. I was swinging in the breeze, just hanging around. Not doing too much. I couldn't do too much. Just before things started getting a little bit too dark, I saw my older brother, who's 16, my older brother Mervyn. He was standing on the top steps. He was going to the toilet. Had to go to the toilet. He had a sight, I reckon. One sister running around the mulberry tree and one little brother like this. I saw his mouth move. I didn't hear what he said. But I remember vividly watching him jump down five stairs and hitting the ground. And I remember thinking just before I passed out, shit, I didn't think my brother could jump like that. It's about 8 metres between him and me. And if ever a little fella needed a helping hand, I think I needed one at that moment. I don't know what happened after that. I can only go by what my brothers and sisters told me, that my older brother raced across to the tree, wrapped his arms around my hips and lifted me up. But he couldn't undo the knot in the rope. It had gone down. She did a good knot. It slipped all bloody right, mate, and then it wouldn't go back the other damn way. So he could only stand there trying to hold me up. He said my tongue was hanging out, my eyes were bulging out, I was a beautiful colour purple. And my sister's still doing laps of honour around the tree. Still trusted my sister. And so he yelled out for help. And my older sister Phyllis was up in the kitchen helping Mum prepare dinner, as the older girls did. And they come running down with a carving knife. And I said, shit. Pardon my language. All he could do was hold me up and cut between me and the branch to cut the cord. And even then, they still couldn't undo it when they laid me down on the ground. My brother said I'd stop breathing. My older sister, Phyllis, she was 19. She's 12 years older than me. She said there was no pulse. They couldn't undo the cord. So they had to get the carving knife in between my neck and the rope and saw it. We don't know how they revived me. No one to this day has been able to tell me how they revived me. My sister Phyllis said Mervyn was pounding me on the back as if you're choking and something was caught in your throat. Somebody had my leg, was pumping my leg up and down. I don't know what they were doing to me. I'm glad I wasn't awake. But I lived to tell the tale. Somehow, somewhere, somewhere along the line, I have a question. Was it divine providence? Or was it a guardian angel? Or was it just because my brother needed to have a pee that I'm alive today? Thank you.
Phil Conder told that story at Noosa Long Weekend Festival at the Noosa Arts Theatre in June this year. We did that night with the wonderful Richard Feidler from Conversations. You're on RN listening to Now Hear This.